But it's now time for the rural news with Susan Murray. Tēnā koe. The future for Aotearoa's frozen deer velvet exports remains up in the air.
Good afternoon. It does. New Zealand's government officials and deer industry leaders have been travelling to China in recent months trying to negotiate exports of frozen deer velvet there. Late last year, China decided to stop accepting frozen velvet imports for its traditional medicinal market, allowing dried velvet only, which is usually more expensive for the farmer. While this season's velvet's all been packed, frozen and shipped, the future of next season's velvet exports worth $70 million a year remain up in the air. Deer Industry New Zealand's Acting Executive Chair Mandy Bell says it's developing contingency plans, which could include reclassifying velvet as an agricultural product or drying more velvet here.
As we get closer to the season, then the pressure's raised. Look, what is really encouraging is that MPI is heading over there to have those discussions. So that means that the discussions are progressing. We'll start loading up containers. The first ones will be heading out towards the end of this year and early into 25. So we have got time. And if we need to have Plan Bs in place, then we'll be well across all the different options that we've got to enable that to happen. Number one is frozen excess restored, ideally by the middle of this year, you know, well in advance of the season beginning. That's what we're all aiming for.
Mandy Bell says producers should stay in touch with the industry group.
We are getting to the pointier end, and the more communication we can have, the better. And it's not something that we're taking lightly. We've turned over all the stones and we're getting to the pebbles now. So be encouraged, but please don't hesitate to pick up the phone and talk to us.
Mandy Bell. Ministry for Primary Industries negotiators are planning to go to China in coming weeks. A spokesperson says there's ongoing constructive engagement with China to agree to conditions for the continuation of the frozen product, and they're aiming for a conclusion by mid-year. Meanwhile, the Ministry for Primary Industries has received about 1,500 submissions from staff about proposed cuts. MPI has been asked to cut 7.5% of its budget. It's looking at cutting 384 jobs, of which 40% are vacant. A spokesperson says staff feedback will be taken into account in determining final decisions, which are expected by mid-May. Agriculture and Trade Minister Todd McClay says China remains a key trading partner and there's still huge room for growing exports there. Mr. McClay has just returned from a visit to Beijing, Harbin and Shanghai, where he met ministers, governors and mayors and engaged in trade and agricultural events with the New Zealand export community. Some of our key exports, like sheep meat and logs, have been struggling with lower prices due to softer demand from China. Mr. McClay acknowledged it's been a tough market, but says China's economy is recovering.
We talked a lot about extra value and how to get those products into market, but it's not all doom and gloom. Although the Chinese economy is much slower than people are used to, they are having 5% growth this year and expect the same next year. That's the equivalent of growth that's the same as the entire economy of Switzerland, or more than twice New Zealand's economy. And what that means is for high quality, safe food products out of New Zealand, there's huge opportunity there. We're just going to make sure that we are present in the market, we're building those sustainable relationships, and we're talking up the really good things that come out of New Zealand, because we know Chinese consumers value that and they want them.
Todd McClay says with a growing middle class of over 500 million people in China, there are significant opportunities for more higher-end, value-add products, not just commodities. Dairy giant Fonterra says it won't be putting forward any projects under the government's fast-track consenting process amid an overhaul of the Resource Management Act. Public submissions closed on Friday night and Resource Management Reform Minister Chris Bishop released a list of organisations he'd contacted about the application process. Fonterra received a letter but says it won't be taking the matter any further. One of the major stock transporting firms driving between Northland and Waikato is calling on the government to get a permanent Brinduin bypass in place sooner rather than later. State Highway 1 has been closed for 6 weeks and isn't due to open until May the 13th. The work is to make the highway less susceptible to closures because of slips. On-road transport owner Don Wilson says taking the three-hour detour costs an extra $1,500 a day due to extra fuel costs, and some drivers can't do a round trip in a day, so need accommodation. He says companies like his can't put up with these sorts of closures.
For the Northland economy to thrive in the future, you know, we need to get that link between Auckland and Northland with their produce and the tourism and, you know, the everything that goes on in Northland. The link between Northland and Auckland is so critical.
Don Wilson says the trucking firm can't absorb the extra costs, so they're passed on to meat companies and farmers. Meanwhile, a Kaitaia mandarin grower says his business is suffering financially with the road closures. Johnny Reid has 24 hectares of Satsuma and Silver Hill mandarins and says the Brinduin detour on top of the Mangamuka Gorge closure is hard to cope with. He says the fruit is looking great, but the yields are lower and prices soft, and it's costing more to transport fruit to markets, so it will be hard to make money this season.
We've got two detours. Mangamuka Gorge is out, and then we've got the Brinduins, which is out. So we have got a huge increase in freight costs, which really, really doesn't help us at all.
The mandarin season's just started and will run until late May. And finally, across the Tasman, where Queensland authorities have upped the ante in their fight to protect Australia's waters from illegal fishing. Drones have been used in fisheries compliance for years, but their loud buzzing sound and visibility gave them away. Following a successful trial over summer, long-range drones are now being used to patrol and target illegal fishing hotspots like the Great Barrier Reef. And that's the Rural News for today. Kia pai tora.